There is a light who casts out darkness, fear, and sin. He is the Christ, the long-awaited hope of man. In death he bought the souls of sinners dead in sin. In resurrection he gave life to them. He said, arise, and death gave way to life. He said, awake, and blind eyes woke to sight. He said, come out, and the tomb was filled with light. He said, forgive and gave eternal life. He touched my heart and taught me love I'd never known. He took my hand, forever making me his own.
He gave me drink, and living waters filled my soul.
He found me lost, and brought me to his home. He said, arise, and death gave way to life. He said, awake, and blind eyes woke to sight. Was filled with light. He said, forgiven, and gave eternal life. And gave eternal life. He said, arise, and death gave way to life. He said, awake, and blind eyes woke to sight.
Excellent. I appreciate that good music today. Open your Bible to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, find that chapter, first book in the New Testament. Matthew 28, and we're going to begin reading here in just a moment together. Give you a second to find it. Matthew 28, and we'll begin reading with verse number 11. So find that place in your Bible. I don't feel compelled every Easter to bring necessarily a message about the resurrection, but I was reading this text about, a month ago now, and my heart began to stir, and I think I even said in the message some time ago, I already have my Easter Sunday morning message. And so this has been in the oven for a while, and it's ready to go, I hope. Amen? And so let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good word, and we're going to begin reading. Follow along in verse number 11, Matthew 28, verse 11. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. I want to draw your attention to that last phrase in verse 15. And this saying is commonly reported. And I want to speak to you today on the subject, fake news. Well, let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the good message of the songs today. that speak of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we do celebrate the true news. Up from the grave He arose. And we're thankful for that. Give us Your touch, blessed help this morning. God, it's important that we give our hearts and minds now to Your Word and take them off the things that are waiting for us or the things that have happened to us within the last couple of days. And for a little bit, give Your Spirit opportunity to minister to us. Help me this morning as I preach and all of us as we listen for what the Spirit would say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and be seated. Like Trump, hate Trump, don't care, don't take time to care about Trump, all right? One thing you've got to admit, he sure has been a handful for the mainstream media. No doubt about it. Unless something major takes place in the next few months, the first half of his presidency is going to be remembered for the words, fake news. I mean, really. I know they've accomplished some things legislatively, but honestly, he has really, I mean, the man has successfully shone the spotlight on how unreliable many of these major news networks are in their reporting. You know, their bias had been exposed before. That was no secret. We knew that. But their falsehoods and their half-truths have never been put on display for all to see like they have been since he took office. And certainly, nobody had ever labeled them fake until this president. Now, I can sense it's already getting tight in here because some of you don't like Trump. Now, I'm not going to be political this morning. We're going somewhere with this. So just hang with me. This is not about President Trump. Fake news. You know, honestly, the Bible is on top of everything. Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun, and that is true in the cause, or the case, if you will, of fake news. You find fake news back in 33 A.D., before cable television, before satellite television, before news anchors, before journalistic reporters, before news networks, and before tabloid journalism, there was fake news. All the way back in 33 A.D. Now, let's paint the scene here. The scene is Jerusalem in Israel, probably in or near the temple of the Jews. The people in the scene include the Roman soldiers who were guarding the tomb where the body of Jesus was buried. Some of the chief priests of the Jews were there, and those who were considered elders were there as well. So you've got the Roman soldiers, and then you've got the leaders in the Jewish religion. Now, the soldiers had come bearing some real disturbing news. Real news. True news. At dawn, or just before dawn, there was a great earthquake, and this man came who had a countenance like lightning. This is all Matthew 27:28, and his clothes were white as snow, and they watched as this man rolled the stone. I mean, single-handedly rolled the stone from the door of the tomb, and I love this, then he sat on it. Just to show his dominion. He sat on it. And the soldiers became very afraid, and they actually passed out. The Bible says they became as dead men. And when they came to, the man whose body, the body that was in the tomb, was gone. Of course, the body of Jesus Christ. And, you know, and they're saying, hey, folks, there is already word circulating that he is alive and he has appeared to some of his own followers. And this set the chief priests and elders of the Jewish hierarchy off. This, folks, this was the worst possible thing that could have happened. You know, they felt like when they put Jesus to death, that was the end of their trouble. What they didn't realize, their trouble was just getting started. Just getting started. And they had to do something. And so they began to scheme, and they began to fabricate, a false story. The Bible says in verse number 12 that they took counsel. Do you see that? And had taken counsel. So they got their heads together and they began to scheme and so forth. And then look at what it says in verse 12. They gave large money. I think that means more than just a few dollars and cents. They gave large money and gave it to the soldiers. Now, isn't it interesting that money was involved in both the betrayal of Jesus and the attempted cover-up of His resurrection? And isn't it interesting how much money is involved in fake news today? Oh, yeah. I think Solomon hit it on the head when he said, there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new under the sun. The love of money, the Bible tells us, is the root of all evil. And still today, money plays a huge role in the scheming and fabricating of stories. It's tight in here. It's okay. I can preach when it's tight. It's better to preach when it's not tight. But it's okay. It's okay. It really is. I mean, when you have liberal television personalities and professors of journalism calling CNN out, folks, it's tough on the liberals. It's tough on them. The spotlight's being shown on this on these people. But anyway, it's not new. Here it is back in 33 A.D. So they concocted a fake news story. And they said, now boys, here's what we need you to do. Here's what you're going to say. Here's what you are going to say. This is not large money. Amen. But anyway, you get the picture, all right? It's a couple of fives and a ten. It's better than ones, but not as good as it could be, all right? But this is what you are going to say, right? This is what you're going to say, right? This is what you're going to say. Oh, yeah, yeah, this is what you're going to say. You're going to say that while you slept, His disciples came and stole the body away. What an idiotic story. To Roman soldiers? Do you understand, folks, that Roman soldiers would kill themselves rather than admit they slept on duty? They'd rather kill themselves. You remember the Philippian jailer? When he thought that the prisoners were escaped, he took a sword out and would have killed himself, supposing that they were all escaped, until Paul said, what? Do thyself no harm. We're all here. He was going to kill. So Roman soldiers would not just freely admit, oh yeah, man, we fell asleep on duty. And then, folks, if they were asleep, how did they know what happened? I remember years ago, Hannah was, fifth or sixth grade. This is the old building, the old auditorium. And she was so upset after church one Sunday evening. And we were sitting around having a snack at the house. And she was so upset. And she said, and I said, Hannah, what's eating at you? And she said, well, she said, Mrs. So-and-so, lady in the church at that time, came up to me and said, how dare you, pastor's daughter, have your eyes open during prayer? And she said, Dad, I'm sorry. And I said, well, how did she know? I didn't get on that girl at all. No, sir. While we were asleep, the disciples came and stole his body. You're able to sleep and know what's going on? Huh? And folks, rolling a stone of that size away from the door is going to happen while you're asleep and you're not going to hear it? This was really bad fake news. Real bad fake news. Kind of like what we get today in some cases. Real bad, and you'll loosen up. You may not loosen up, but that's okay. I don't get it, you know. Here it is back in 33 A.D. Now, this was really bad fake news. And so the chief priest and the elders, they went on with their story and they promised that they would have the soldiers' backs if the news came to Pilate. And by the way, I don't have the answer to this. In verse number 14, he says, you know, if the news come to the governor's ears, if Pilate hears about this, we got your back. It's interesting to me, and maybe somebody has the answer, maybe you've heard it before or you've thought it through, but why did these Roman soldiers go to the Jews instead of Pilate? The Jews were not their authority. Pilate was their authority, but the Jews had hired them, I suppose, that's the thing, to watch the tomb. And so maybe they went to, but Pilate was the one that actually given the permission for them to do it, so it's just interesting. And so the soldiers take the money, and look at verse number 15, they took the money, and did as they were taught. I guess their synonymous word would be bought. Right? And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Now, folks, most people believe that Matthew wrote his gospel sometime between 50 or 60 and 65 A.D. This happens in 33 A.D., so the fake news story lived on for 30-plus years. The people believed it. Says it was commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So this fake news story had a lifespan of at least 30 years. Makes you wonder how much of what we believed from 30 years ago is even real. Like who shot John Kennedy? And on and on. Oh, you're a conspiracist. No, I'm not. But I'm telling you something. You have to be careful just because the anchor at the 6 p.m. news broadcast says it doesn't mean it's real. And just because you read it on the internet doesn't mean it's real. Okay? Just it doesn't mean so. So this fake news story had a lifespan of at least 30 years and maybe more. I think it was Adolf Hitler who said, he's credited with saying, I wasn't around back then, I don't know, but it's credited that he said, if you tell a big enough lie and tell it frequently enough, it will be believed. Fake news. All the way back in the first century. Fake news about the biggest story of the first century. The first century is only 33 years old. And the biggest event to ever take place in the first 33 years, if you will, of this first century, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, walked out of the tomb after 3 days and 3 nights, was triumphant over death, sin, and the grave, and all that was commonly reported was that the followers of Christ had come and stolen His body away. That's sad. That's sad. But that's exactly what took place back then. Now, I want us to look this morning for just a few minutes at the real news, the true news about what happened here in this situation. First of all, I want you to notice this. Jesus was up front and verbal about His resurrection. He was up front and verbal about His resurrection. Turn to John chapter 2. The Gospel of John chapter 2. Turn to your right a few pages if you're getting used to your Bible. John chapter 2. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 19. John chapter 2, verse number 19. This is at the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry. So this is when Jesus is about 30 years of age. He just turned the water to wine at the wedding feast in Cana. And look at what He says in verse number 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? You see, the Jews thought He was talking about the physical temple. It took 46 years for it to be built. And Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rise it up again. Raise it up again. He wasn't talking about the physical temple. He was talking about His body. Look at what it says in verse number 20. Then said the Jews, again, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But He spake of the temple of His body. Destroy it, and within 3 days, I will raise it up. By the way, we won't turn there, but in Mark chapter 14, now listen to this. In Mark chapter 14, you've got the event where they brought the false witnesses in to testify at the trial of Jesus Christ. And listen to what Mark 14:58, they bring in these false witnesses, And this is what they testified under oath. So help me God. We heard Him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. Is that what you read in John chapter 2? Why are they adding? You know what it sounds like to me? That sounds like another version of what Jesus said. Oh. So changing the Word of God is not new either. So changing the Word of God has been going on for centuries, for millenniums. They're adding to, deleting, and changing what Jesus really said. Jesus did not say, you destroy this body that is made with hands, and in 3 days I'll build another made without hands. He never said that. They're adding to the words of Jesus. But we won't go there. Listen carefully. Matthew 16, 21, Matthew 20, 19, Mark 8, 31, Mark 9, 31, Mark 10, 33, Luke 9, 22, Luke 8, 1831, all make reference to what Jesus really said. He said, I'm going to rise again the third day. It was said over and over and over again. I'm not going to stay in the grave. I'm not going to stay in the tomb. I'm coming out. He was not silent. This thing was not done in a corner. It was not done behind closed doors. Jesus was up front and verbal. Jesus tied His resurrection to the Old Testament prophets. He said to the 12 disciples, listen, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. Now watch this. And all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished, including the resurrection. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm going to die. They're going to put me there. But I'm not staying any longer than 3 days and three nights. And at the end of those 3 days and three nights and in one place, He even said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, 3 days and three nights, so shall the man, Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. He said it over and over and over and over again. I'm coming out. I am going to rise from the dead. And He did what He said. He was upfront and verbal about this news. Now, number two, I want you to see this. And boy, this is interesting to me. The chief priests and leaders of the Jews feared that this would happen and made plans about it beforehand. Now, I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 27, and look with me, please, in chapter 27 at verse number 62. Now, this is before the Scripture that we read in Matthew chapter 28. So, Matthew chapter 27, look at verse number 62. This is before what happened after the resurrection. Now, the next day, okay, by the way, let's just take a moment here. Look at verse number 60. And laid it, the body of Jesus, in His own new tomb. Joseph of Arimathea laid the body of Jesus in his tomb, which He had hewn out in the rock, and He rolled a great stone. Do you see that? Great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Now look at verse 62. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate. Who are the chief priests and Pharisees? They're the leaders of the Jewish religion. Now, they came to Pilate saying, verse 63, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, whoa, why are you calling him deceiver? What grounds do you have to call? What did Jesus ever deceive you about? They're trying to manipulate how you think of how Pilate thought about him. Trying to manipulate your thinking. Hello, there's nothing new under the sun, folks. This fake news business is going on in 33 A.D. This deceiver said, while he was yet alive, Jesus has just died, just been buried, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away. Whoa, time out. What? and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first? Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. They contemplated this resurrection happening before it happened. They had heard and they had seen stories during the ministry of Jesus Christ. They knew so much of what He did and what He said was in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. He claimed to be the Messiah. And as much as they wanted not to believe that He was the Messiah, the things He said and the things He did were right in line with Old Testament truth. So what are they going to do, boys? You know, the Scripture said the Messiah would be born of a virgin. And we know that Joseph claims not to be his daddy. What are they going to do, boys? We know the Old Testament Scriptures say that when He comes, He's going to preach deliverance to the captives. He's going to work miracles. And for 3.5 years, that's what He's done. What are we going to do, boys, if that Scripture about His rising from the dead is true too? They're already contemplating it. Now He's dead. They had succeeded in having Him crucified, but there was this little issue of His saying, I will rise again the third day. And so they put the soldiers in place, and they came up with the fake news of Jesus' disciples stealing the body away before it happened. Before it happened. The blindness caused by their jealousy and their hatred and their bitterness and their envy. You know, when Jesus was on earth preaching and teaching, multitudes followed Him. And the Bible says they looked at Him with envy and jealousy. Here's this simple carpenter from Galilee, and look at the crowd that's following Him. And boy, envy and jealousy and bitterness. They're full of hatred. You understand what being full of bitterness and ugliness and hatred can do? I mean, it can blind you to truth, blind you to reality. And they're just so full. By the way, you've got to be so careful. This is on the side, to the side, if you will. You have to be careful, folks, about bitterness and jealousy and envy rising up in your heart and seizing control, because it will blind you to truth. Blind you to truth. They're so angry and they're so jealous and so envious, because Jesus had, they'd seen all these multitudes of people following Him, and they concocted this lie. They knew they were going to report a lie. They knew it. If this happens, we're going to lie. We're going to say that the disciples stole His body away. You know what this is in Romans chapter 1? Paul talks about this. He talked about people, listen to me, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about taking the truth and placing it in a prison. Locking it behind bars for years. For years. They took the truth about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They knew He rose. And for 30-something years, they took that news and held it in captivity as best as they could. Now, what they had on the other hand was they had all the followers of Christ going everywhere preaching, He lives, He lives, He lives, He lives, He lives. But the Jewish, those followers of Jews, the Judaism, they were told for 30-something years the truth was held in a prison. I'm going to tell you something, boy. That's an awful thing for people posing to be men of God and people of God who hold the truth in captivity. We got the same thing going on today. Men posing to be preachers who would tell you there is no hell. Maybe like the Pope did, I guess. I don't know what he said. I didn't take time to read it all. Just said, did something like, did Pope Francis say there is no hell? I don't know. I don't really care what Pope Francis says. I have a Bible. I know what God says. Shame on people who pose as men of God who hold the truth in captivity. Hold the truth in a prison. And that's what these men did. There is no... How about the crowd that claims to be men of God who profess the earth was not created by God? They hold the truth in captivity. How about what they say in their clerical garb from behind sacred desks? Everybody's born a child of God. That means we're all God's children and we're all brothers and sisters. That's a lie. That's a lie. They're holding the truth in prison. But it didn't start in 2018. It's been going on for years and years and years and years and years. It was going on here. They knew what had happened, but they contained it. They put it in a hole, so to speak. They buried it. They put it in captivity. And they told all their followers, his disciples stole him away. His disciples stole him away. Now look at him out there on the streets of Jerusalem, preaching to all those people and telling folks that Jesus is alive. They stole his body away. Lying. Lying. Conceived in the heart of man, so full of ugliness and bitterness and jealousy and envy and rage. And it was concocted beforehand. Beforehand. I am not a conspiratist. But boy, enough has been revealed in years gone by that it just makes you wonder, who's telling the truth? Who's telling the truth? So you got here, you got Jesus was up front verbal about the resurrection. The chief priests and the elders of the Jews, they're concocting this story before it's ever happened. They're planning to hold the truth in unrighteousness before it ever takes place. I want to say number three this morning, listen very carefully. The truth is always found in what God said. Now I want you to take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 24. Chapter 24, Gospel of Luke. And look with me here at verse number 1. Okay, we're not going to read all these verses, but I want to show you something very important. Luke chapter 24, Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 24, verse number 1. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, the ladies, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, these men said to these ladies, why seek ye the living among the dead? Ladies, you've come to a place where dead people are. Why are you looking for a living person where dead people are? Look what they said. Look at verse number 6. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake. Remember what he said. Don't you remember what he said? While he was yet with you in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and here it is, the third day, rise again. The Bible then says in verse number 8, and they remembered his words. Oh, yeah. He was right. Absolutely, he was, he is, and he always will be right. The truth is always found in what God said. John chapter 2, verse 22. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. People, can I tell you, you've heard this kind of trendy nowadays, a takeaway? You want a takeaway from Easter Sunday morning, April 1st, 2018, service at Faith Baptist Church, Bourbon, Illinois. You want a takeaway from this? Here it is. Go home with this takeaway. Believe God. How about that? How about I believe God? And don't wait till it's too late to do something about it. They were able to do something about it. They remembered his words. Oh, yeah. You know, he did say that. He said he was going to die. He said he was going to be in the tomb 3 days and 3 nights. And he said he's coming out. Whoa. The truth is always found in what God said. You believe God by believing what He said. All of it, people. You believe what God says about life. You believe what God says about sin. You believe what God says about living unselfishly. You believe what God says about marriage, about finance, about, because whatever God says is right and true. It's not fake news, it's real news. You don't have to worry. No. You know, I told my Sunday school class this morning, and I will belabor this, but we live in a society, folks, that's spitting on what God says. Spitting on it. And I don't watch Fox News. I get my news from FoxNews.com, just looking at the headlines. And I see this headline, family of eight killed as SUV plunges off a cliff in California. Now, you know, that doesn't happen every day. So I'm thinking, wow. Wow. And so I did start reading a little bit. Come to find out, this family was two women with six adopted kids. And evidently, they drove off the cliff going 90 miles an hour. And they found five of the bodies and three they can't find. And look, I'm not bellyaching about adoption. Adoption is adoption. It's legal, right? Good, okay. But family? Two women? Okay, Americans, just line up and march right along. Okay, yes, sir, family. That's a family. That's not a family. That's not a family. That's not a family. That's not marriage. Marriage, family is a man and a woman. Now, whether they're biological children or adopted children, that's another thing. But we're just spoon-fed. You're supposed to believe it. Okay, next. Okay, next. Okay. Da-da-da-da-da-da. You go through life like that, you're going to be in a world of trouble, friend. Because this place is spitting on God. What you better do is decide, I'm going to find out, whatever God said, I'm going to believe it. Because God's right, and there is no fake news with God. Everything happened just like Jesus said it would. From the cross, to the tearing out of His beard, to the fact that no bones in His body were broken, to the fact that it was His own familiar friend who betrayed Him, to the fact that He would be crucified with the transgressors and buried with the rich because Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. Everything about His death, burial, resurrection came to pass just like God said. Believe God. Believe Him. And most of all, believe Him what He says about salvation and going to heaven. You can dismiss. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, he did not leave himself out. They had heard false gospel. They had heard fake news about salvation. And Paul didn't exclude himself. He said, people, if I or any other man or any angel from heaven come preaching any other gospel than the one the Bible tells you, let him be accursed. Because the Bible version of salvation is the only version that's true. All else is fake news. Like what? Like baptizing makes you a Christian. That's fake news. Doesn't happen. Like joining a church makes you a Christian. That's fake news, folks. That's fake news. Like being born in America makes you baloney. No. Heaven help us. There is one true news about eternal life in heaven. And Jesus said it in John 14:6 when He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. It's through Jesus or it's not at all. Doesn't happen. Believe it. So I can't. Yes, you can. You can believe it. You can believe God. God made every living creature with the free will ability to believe Him if you will. Believe what God says. The Lord Jesus came to this earth, was crucified, buried, and rose again to pay for your sin debt, to pay, to make it possible for you to be saved. That's not Terry Angel speak. That is Word of God. Believe it. Believe it. Trust Christ and be saved. And then once you get saved, my goodness, just make a habit out of believing everything that God said about life, because it's not fake news. It's true. It's real. It's right. You can bank your eternal destiny on it. And that's no small beans. That's not money. That's not prosperity. That's eternal, eternal destiny. What God said about how to get to heaven is true. Believe it. Believe it. Let's bow our heads together. Thank you for listening this morning. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for your word which gives us the truth. And Lord, I pray that through the kind of the day and age in which we live and the carnage that goes on in society today, of fake news, I pray that, Lord, we'll look beyond that. This is not about politics, Republican, Democrat, pro-Trump, anti-Trump. This is about you. This is about your word. This is about your word being true and right and faithful. Help us to build our lives on it. There's no fake news in your book that came from you, not one. Thank you for that. Help us to believe you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The takeaway from the message really goes along with our theme for this year: I believe God. Do you believe Him? Do you? Pastor, I wonder if you were speaking to me this morning, what the words that came from the pulpit and the message, and God really spoke to my heart. I just need a recharge and just believing God. Believing God to be true, right, and not doubting Him. For life, family, work, finances, everything. I needed the admonition, the challenge this morning to believe Him. Pray for me. I need to be better at that in my life. Would you slip your hand in the air? I'm going to pray in just a moment. God bless you. I see those hands. Amen. I appreciate it. You may take your hands down. Now, let me ask this question. Is there somebody here this morning who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved? If what the Bible says about going to heaven is true, and it is, that Jesus is the only way, I have no idea, none, whether or not I'm going to heaven. Isn't it wonderful, friend, that you can know for sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven is your eternal home? God told us how in His Word, spilled it out for us, and what God says is true. Now, if you don't know that this morning, what a blessing to learn that you can know for sure that when you die, you're going to heaven. And it's all based upon what God said about how to get there. But there might be somebody here today that says, Pastor, I don't know that. I do not know if I'm saved or not. I have no idea. I have no idea where my eternal destiny is, where I will spend eternity for the rest of eternity. I have no idea where I'll be. If that's you this morning, this is not about becoming a Baptist, joining a church. This is not about anything involving anything other than just the eternal destiny of your soul. If you don't know that you're going to heaven someday, can I just pray for you? I won't do it by name. I won't bother you. I just want to pray that God will speak to your heart about it. But would you have the humility to acknowledge, I don't know if I'm saved, just by slipping your hand in the air. Just slip it up in the air. I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. Pray for me. Anybody like that here this morning? Downstairs, upstairs? I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. I have no idea where my home is someday. Nobody like that here today. You're sure you're on your way to heaven. Preach the truth of God's Word to you. If you're not sure, now is a perfect time just to slip a hand and say, Pastor, I'm not sure. If you're here today, you've been saved, you haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism, then I would invite you to come and do that this morning or talk to these men about it. If God spoke to your heart just about the reinforcement of believing God, God's Word is not fake. It's true. It's real. You can bank your life on it. Live by it. If God speak to you about that this morning, you come and kneel and pray at the altar for stand or whatever you have to do that you physically can do. Father in heaven, I thank you for the truth of your Word and all that it means to us. And Lord, I just pray for anybody this morning, Lord, blinded as to the truth of your Word. I pray that the glorious light of the gospel would break through and their minds would, Lord, see God's Word is true. And Jesus, what he said about eternal life is real. That's the only way to heaven. And Father, if there's somebody here unsaved, would you please draw them to yourself? And would you help us to live for you if somebody needs to be baptized and follow you? May they take that step today as well. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand together, please. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. And we'll wait for just a moment for you. If you raised a hand to come while we wait. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I believe God. I believe God. If you're not saved, if you're not sure that you're saved on your way to heaven, would you come this morning? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can know that for sure while we wait today. Not asking you to become a church member, just asking if you want someone to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved and know it for sure while we wait. While we wait today, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You can bank your eternal destiny on the truth of what God said. If you're not sure that you're saved, why not come and trust Him today as your Savior? Or at least learn what the Bible says about that. Some have come and prayed a little bit. Would you like to join them? Would you like to know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? Leave with that confidence and assurance in your heart today. I'm saved and I know it. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the truth of your Word. May it ever be in our hearts and lives that we believe it and live it and never doubt it. And may it show up in how we live from day to day, week to week. Thank you for being true, right, faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.